Welcome to the Storyline Podcast, where we are talking to global leaders about God's global mission. I am glad that you have joined us today on the Storyline Podcast. My name is Kirby Holmes. I want to welcome you to today's dialogue that I'm going to have with Mike Craig about what it means to live a wartime lifestyle as a world Christian. You know, what is it really going to take for us as the church to make significant progress in this generation to join God in His mission? You know, we understand the Bible talks about God's heart for the nations and for the people of the world. And we've looked at in previous podcasts around people in history who have taken seriously God's invitation to join Him and what He's doing around the world. And now it's our chance. Now it's our opportunity in this generation of the church to say, okay, how do we get to contribute? What's our part? God, what is it going to take for us to be able to say yes to You so that You can continue to do the work of loving the people of the nations? There are so many people around the world who are just longing to know of the hope and the freedom of Jesus Christ and what He has to offer them through His life and His death and His resurrection. And we want to be the people of this generation who could say, let's go do something. We always have a chance to partner with God and His mission in the world. And so Mike's going to talk to us about what the opportunity is, maybe some of the fears we have as people in this generation about saying yes to this. We can say yes to God's purpose in the world. Let's get started. Well, hey, welcome back to our Storyline Podcast. I'm Kirby Holmes, and this is Mike Craig, and we're going to be talking today about what it really means to live a wartime lifestyle when it comes to being a part of God's story of missions around the world and reaching every ethnic group and every people group.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, Kirby, you know, we talk about the wartime lifestyle. I think this is something that this idea actually came from a perspectives article in the perspectives course. And I think it's a really good one to think about. Now, the first thought you have when you hear that is, oh my gosh, this is really intense. Like wartime, really? Like I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, I'm a stay-at-home mom. What are you talking about, wartime lifestyle? So I think what we're really talking about is, how do we as Christians live with strategic purpose based upon what we understand the Great Commission to be? How do we engage it, and how do we keep connected and keep focused? And so your question of how do we really do this, I think, number one, I mean, let's just be real. We got so many things pulling in so many different directions. I mean, we've got the world, you know, pulling on us and telling us different things we ought to value. And so I think it's hard. I think we need to acknowledge that it's difficult to maintain a strategic purpose in our lives. And I think just acknowledging that it's going to be a tough thing, but it's something that we need to, you know, make an effort to do. And I think the number one thing, though, is just getting with people that share the same desire, the same purpose, the same, you know, sense of, hey, I really want to live and invest. I don't want to just, you know, spend my life. I want to invest my life in the Great Commission and what God is doing to build His kingdom on this earth.
Well, if we put an analogy like a wartime lifestyle and we apply that to God's mission in the world, it brings up this word for me called sacrifice.
Yep.
Talk to me more about the analogy of the war. Well, what is it like to be a part of God's mission in the world, and why use an analogy like the wartime lifestyle?
Yeah, I think it's a good analogy. You know, I don't know that it's an analogy that may work well across cultures. I think we've seen that as we've taught in different countries around the world, even recently. But when you think about us, and in particular, I like to look at World War II. I don't know that some of the more recent issues that we've had are great metaphors of this. But in World War II, you had, you look at our country, and we had lots of our young men on the front. But obviously, you know, the majority of people were not on the front lines. They were back home. And what we saw in our country was the fact that, you know, factories and places of industry shifted and were transformed into places of, you know, like if a car factory, instead of building cars, it started to build tanks, gardens that people had in their backyard. There was this thing called the war gardens. And so many people would take the, you know, the tomatoes and the potatoes out of their gardens and send them to a certain commissary in their community, and they'd be shipped over to England to feed the troops. So there was a sense of purpose and mission during that war. And, you know, many people felt like, okay, even if I'm not on the front line, I am definitely involved in this struggle to liberate Europe from this evil that's sweeping across the continent. So that's a good analogy for us in the mission of the church. And not everybody's going to be a missionary. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. You know, we understand the body of Christ is diverse, and, you know, there are gifts in the body of Christ that, you know, are such that people, in order to exercise those gifts, they're going to be a pastor. They're going to be a vocational full-time Christian worker. But, you know, most people will not occupy those roles, and they are going to occupy other roles, but we're all involved in the same mission. And so that's the point. That's where I think, you know, whatever your role is, it really isn't as important. What is important is to find what is your most strategic role in God's mission and to fill it. And that's a stewardship issue that we each have, and it's something that we need to talk with our pastor about, people that know us. Hey, what am I good at? What has God gifted me to do? And how can I take that gift and channel it toward God's mission, both locally and even internationally? So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I've heard you talk in the past about playing soccer and what would it be like to be in the World Cup championship game. Would you rather be there as a participant, watching all the action on the field, or would you rather be a player on the field? Talk to me about that analogy.
Yeah, I love this analogy. And by the way, you know, I was a football player when I was younger, and so I would prefer to probably use a football analogy. However, you know, football doesn't really convey to a lot of other cultures. So soccer is a global sport, so we use soccer. But anyway, the point is imagine if you were on a world-class soccer team, and let's say you had the championship game, and you had a high degree of confidence that your team was going to win. Okay, let's just say that you knew you were going to win. I mean, you just knew it. You had that confidence. And the coach came to you and said, hey, would you like to play in the game? We want you to play. We want you to occupy, you know, a key role on this team, and so on and so forth. Now, you have an option, of course. You can play out there. You already know you're going to win. And you can be involved in the team. You can play. You can bear the cuts and bruises and you know, the knocks and the hits and everything. Or you can actually take kind of the easy road. You already know you're going to get the championship ring at the end. You're going to get the jersey. You're going to get the title of champion, right? You could kind of take the easy way out, right? You could just be on the team and be on the winning team. But here's the question, though. When the game is over and you're at the party celebrating the victory, do you want the joy of, hey, I'm on the team and I'm really happy I'm on the team, or the deeper, more meaningful joy of knowing that this victory, I was involved, I was out there on the field, I was taking blows, I was, you know, I've got the cuts and bruises and scrapes. You know, there's a deeper joy with that kind of level of participation. You know, nobody on the team is going to feel sad or like they missed out. They're on the winning team. So that's kind of an analogy we like to use. And I think God's kingdom, it's the same way. I mean, God invites us to be involved in what he is doing. And, you know, we don't motivate Christians on the basis of guilt. I don't think that's a really great motivation, but really from the standpoint of investment, I mean, what do you want to invest in? And it's a real joy to invest your life and your talent and your treasure and your time in the single greatest mission and purpose on the planet. So that's what we like to invite people to do.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I've always been motivated by the idea I get to play on the team that we know is going to win. And as we look in Revelation, we see that there will be people from every nation, tribe, and tongue and language worshiping Jesus Christ, worshiping our Savior, worshiping him together. And so we know we're going to win. We know the mission gets fulfilled. Mm-hmm. But yet our level of involvement, we could be more of a spectator or we can be involved in the game. So I love how you say that. Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to kind of this wartime lifestyle, you know, it is a challenge if you are being considered to go to a front line in a war. That's not something a lot of people say yes to easily. It does take courage. It does demand something. But what are some practical ways you could say people might be willing to make that choice to be involved in being mobilized for the Great Commission, whether they're on the front lines or they're supplying troops going to the front lines? What are some ways practically people can live out this wartime lifestyle?
Yeah, I think number one is, you know, just get with people that are going in the same direction. I think community is really, really important. There's a thing that I've been hearing recently. I feel like I've heard it like in different places so many different times, but and it sounds kind of crude in a sense to hear this, and almost like you're being boxed in, but the expression is that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I think, you know, we have the verse that says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. And so the principle there is, you know, you're going to take on the attributes or some of the character traits or some of the values of the people that you're spending time with. And so, you know, for me, when I showed up on the campus of the University of Montana as a freshman, I knew that I wanted to be with people that really lived out the gospel and were taking the gospel to their fellow classmates. And so I wanted to be around those types of people. And so I just made a decision and I got involved with this one particular organization. And my friends were saying, hey, Mike, let's go share Christ in this fraternity house. Let's go share Christ with this, you know, with the basketball team and with people on campus. And it was very challenging. It was scary, but I needed to be in that community. So I think that's a big deal. That's a huge part of it, is getting around people that are moving in that direction. You know, a piece of that too is, hey, what am I good at? What are my spiritual gifts? You know, we talked, I think, in an earlier discussion here about different, you know, there's praying and going and welcoming and habits of a world Christian. But there are other, you know, there are spiritual gifts. You know, am I good at administration? You know, a lot of people, it's crazy to me, Kirby, and you've been a pastor for a number of years, but a lot of people don't know what their spiritual gifts are. They don't know, hey, what can I give to the church? It amazes me that there are so many Christians that have really not settled that issue of, hey, what am I good at? What can I contribute? So, that's a big part of it, is what how can I serve? What am I gifted to do? And then really just being okay with, you know, however small or big that role is.
I do think some people probably even fear discovering their gifts or knowing what they contribute, because they feel like if they say yes to God's plan for them, that there might be a sense where they're sacrificing their own fun, or they're giving up some element of control or safety in their life. And there can be barriers for people even wanting to know more.
You know, a soldier at war will come off of the front line and have leave. You know, I think, you know, everybody needs a break. Everybody needs to rest. You know, we see that God in creation worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh. I think that the missionary teams I've been a part of, we've always laughed a lot. We've laughed at each other. We've laughed at, I mean, I think there is something funny about us as missionaries and people who are in the mission space. We can tend to get maybe more serious than we ought to be, or take ourselves too seriously. The mission is quite serious. It's very serious, and absolutely, you know, the stakes couldn't be any higher. You're talking about the souls of men and women and their eternal destinies. So let's not sidestep that fact that it's quite serious, but God wired us to enjoy his creation, to enjoy relationships. I think participation in the Great Commission is full of joy. It's full of meaning and purpose. And yeah, there's quite a bit of fun out there to be had, for sure. So I think we have to realize that it's ultimately God who is leading his mission. And we have a role to play, but he will complete it. It's his to own. It's his to carry. I don't know if that answered the question well or not. But
no, that's good. I just know in my experience, I've experienced so much joy and so much satisfaction in saying yes to what God's up to in the world, compared to what I thought maybe I would be leaving behind if I hadn't made that choice. I feel like I've been given so much more than what I feel like I've given up.
along the way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's maybe the root of some people's fears. Is it going to be worth it if I say yes to taking steps forward to join God and His purposes in the world, and how I can connect my story with His story? So thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate all your great thoughts here.
You bet. Thanks, Kirby.
Well, it was great to have you on our podcast today. Glad you followed along with that discussion. We just want you to know that if you want to read more about what's happening in the global church with missions, that we periodically write blogs on our website. And it's a great opportunity to hear about things that we're experiencing as we travel around the world and talk to Christian leaders who are leading denominations, who are missions directors from various countries around the world, talking about their perspective about the missions from their country. And a lot of times we'll write articles and report on these kinds of stories as a Storyline mission team, and we'll post them on our blog. So if you ever want to go to our website, storylinemissions.org, that's storylinemissions with an S, .org, you can go to our blog and find out more about what's going on around the world with mobilizing the global church. Thanks again for joining us on this podcast.